For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, July the 4th, 2002. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let your spirit and your anointing come down now, Lord. Let your spirit and your anointing come down. For it's your anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord God. Oh, we want to break the yokes of bondage in this place today, Lord God. Let your spirit just come down now, Lord God. Let we bind up the enemy now that would... We bind up the enemy that will try to steal the word now. We'll try to filter the word so that people will not understand or someone might take offense to what's said today. Or we bind up those demonic forces that would cause confusion, cause offense in the name of Jesus. We loosen your spirits, Lord, your spirits of compassion and love and deliverance, of salvation, supplication, and grace to come forth. We ask you to send the war angels to bind up all the loose demons in this place and to haul off the ones that get cast out in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you and bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk to you today about sexual sin. You know, first I want to talk to you about the sins of the fathers. Things that have happened in the past in your family that generations have come down through the generations, sometimes as far back as 10 generations. Now, 10 generations is 1,026 people. Have y'all got any idea what your blood kin was doing 1,000 people ago? Or 400 years ago? That's 10 generations. 400 years ago. No, I don't know what my blood kin was doing back then. But it's important. Let's look at Exodus chapter 34 and look starting at verse 5. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, a name does two things. It proclaims the authority behind it. And the authority of the person speaking that name, the authority of that name is the authority of the person. And so Jesus has a tremendous amount of authority. So when you say in Jesus' name, you're speaking in Jesus' authority, okay? The second thing the name proclaims is the character. The character of the person is described in his name. Now, when you say something in the name of Jesus, you're invoking the authority of Jesus. But the amount of the authority that you can invoke is directly proportional to the character reflected in your life of Jesus. And we're going to look at his character here now. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, by no means leaving the guilty, or by no means clearing the guilty, and if you have a New International or American Standard that says by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. No means clearing the guilty is an old English way of saying leaving them unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's generation for the third and the fourth generation. Now, I can give you about 10 other scriptures for that, and I'm not going to burden you with them right now. But God's character is that he holds the children accountable for the father's sins. And until Jesus Christ hung on the cross, there was no remedy for that. You suffered through it. But when Jesus came, he was made a curse for you, that you might be delivered from this curse.
Absolutely.
He was made a curse for you. Now that is recorded in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law and become a curse for us. It's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Verse 16 says, if you belong to Jesus, you be the seed of Abraham. Okay. So, these curses have come down through the family line. Now, some curses, as I said, go three or four generations. The curse of incest and illegitimacy goes 10 generations. And that's recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 23. I think it's 23. I've got a new Bible here. I lost my old Bible. I had everything so marked in, you know. And now I have to look through here and find them. But this is chapter 23, verse 3. Verse 2 says, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2 says, one of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord even to the 10th generation. Okay, and verse 3 says, an Amorite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord even to the 10th generation. Okay. Now, the children of Ammon and the children, the Moabites and the Ammonites were children of Lot by incest. You remember Lot and his daughters went into the cave. They talked about that this morning. And his daughters became pregnant by their father. And they had the Moabites and the Ammonites. I will show you a practical working out of that in Scripture. In Genesis, the last chapter in Genesis, Jacob prophesied, or Israel prophesied over his boys. And over Judah, he said that the king, the ruler, would come out of the tribe of Judah. And he said that the staff, a scepter, would not pass from Judah till Shiloh come. Okay. Now, if the king was going to come out of Judah, why did the first king come out of the tribe of Benjamin? Saul was a Benjaminite. And I'd like to say that I figured this out, but I got it off of Dr. Derek Prince. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1. And you will see here the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And if you look at Judah, it says Judah, verse 3. Matthew chapter 1, verse 3. Judah begot Perez and Zemar by Tamar. Now, who was Tamar? Well, if you go back into Genesis chapter 38, you will find Tamar was his daughter-in-law. And that was incest. And if you start numbering with Judah and number the generations, you will find when you get to Jesse is number 10, and then David is number 11. And so the king could not come out of the tribe of Judah until the 11th generation, and that was David. His father, Jesse, was the 10th generation. And so the people demanded a king before David was ready, and so God gave them Saul out of the tribe of Benjamin that was not contaminated with incest. And once David came, then the curse had borne its fruit. Okay. Now we'll show you. Now let's look at Hosea. Now, in Hosea, there's Psalms, and there's Isaiah, and then there's Jeremiah, and then there's Ezekiel, and Daniel, and then Hosea. It's right in the middle of the Bible. Look at Hosea chapter 4:5-4. Yes. And here, God is speaking to his people about their misbehavior. And what does he say? He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. My people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest over me. For me. Because you've forgotten the law, I will also forget your children. He said, the more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. And so we have here, they've been rejected from being a priest. He's going to forget their children. He's going to change their shame into glory. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity. It shall be like peace, like people. I will punish them for their ways. The reward of them for their deeds. They shall eat, but not have enough. That's gluttony. Never get full. They shall commit whoredom and not increase. Well, they're going to be sterile. Harlotry or whoredom, wine and new wine enslave the heart. Now, that word enslave there means take away. It's the same word used when he said, Enoch walked with God and God took him. He translated him away. And so what happens is that whoredom, wine, and new wine take away the soul. That word heart there means intellect, will, and emotion, soul. And so when you get involved in whoredom, you get involved in alcoholism, it steals your soul. You lose part of your mind, your will. You say, how can you lose your soul? Well, what does God say when he said, why is he saying in the 23rd Psalm, he's going to lead you beside green pastures, still waters? Restore your soul. If they can't steal it, why does he have to? He wouldn't have to restore it. They steal it. It's done in witchcraft all the time. People ask counsel of their wooden idols. Their divination staff informs them, a pendulum points where it's going to point. That's the way they go. Spin the bottle and see what it says. The spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. They paid the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops. They burn incense on the hills. Under the poplars, oaks, and turbans because the shade is good. Now, what he's talking about there, he's talking about these old boys are going up there to the temples of Astria. And that was just a glorified house of prostitution. You took an offering and you went in and you gave the offering and then you used one of the temple zoolites, which were just for your sexual pleasure. Okay. We will see that later. He said, because you do this, your daughters are going to become whores. Now, he's cursed that man, saying he's cursed his daughters are going to become whores. And your brides are going to commit adultery. Because those men went up there and offered sacrifices in the temple of Astria and committed sexual immorality. The curse comes down on their wives and daughters. But God says, I'm not going to punish your daughters when they become whores. Nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots, that's prostitutes, offer sacrifices, there you are, offer the sacrifice with the ritual harlot called a zonite. Therefore, because these people do not understand, they have no understanding, they're going to be trampled under. Now that's the curse of whoredom. That curse comes down the family line. Whenever you worship idols. You've got ancestors who've been involved in idolatry, been involved in the Masons, been involved in the Eastern Star, been involved in the occult, playing with the tarot cards, the Ouija board. These things I talked about yesterday, you remember those things? The Xixiang sticks. Been casting curses. Been trying to control other people. Been praying soulish witchcraft prayers. You know what that is? I have people come to me and say, "Oh, Lord, oh, Doc, I want you to pray that this girl will just be so unhappy and can't sleep at night because she agrees to marry me." I say, "You want me to do what?" "Once she's come, I want you to agree with me in prayer that this girl is just going to be so restless she can't sleep at night until she agrees to marry me." I said, "Man, don't you realize that's witchcraft? I'm not about to pray to try to control that girl." I said, "You better repent of that." "No, no, I want to marry her. I'm willing to pay the price. I want to marry her." He wanted to do witchcraft to get that girl to marry him. And then I've seen it the other way around, too. Both of those are witchcraft prayers, and they will bring into you spirit of whoredom. And it will punish your children. This is the kind of this curse. You will meet someone who says, "You know, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. I've known it all my life. Ever since I was little, I knew that I should have been a girl." Now, this is someone who has a perverse homosexual spirit that's come in from the curse of whoredom at birth. Now, homosexuality can come in a number of ways. That's one way it can come in. And you look back in the family line and you will see this thing replicated. You got peeping toms. Y'all know what a peeping tom is? You got folks peeping toms. You got flashers. You know what a flasher is? You got exhibitionists. What's an exhibitionist? That is somebody that shows off their body. I get really upset. I think, well, with the modern bathing suits, you know. I said, "My God, they don't leave nothing. How can Christian women put on something like that?" You can still be an exhibitionist and wear something very tight. Something that you know will attract the opposite sex and have a sexual attraction. Or you can just be the old fellow who wears a raincoat and says, "That's called a flash up." And run off. That's demonic. That is demonic. And it is sad to see somebody with that. Or you can have the transvestite. That's somebody who, that's a man that dresses up like a woman. And I mean, he just, and sometimes he, I mean, he is, well, he just dress up like a woman. And I've had people come, I had one man come down here, and he came down, and all he wanted me to do was to pray for him, because his wife told him she wasn't going to put up with him more. If he didn't come down and get to Lubbock, she's going to divorce him. Well, he enjoyed it. He didn't want to get to Lubbock. Now, God will not deliver you from your friends. Slaves that love their chains will never be free. God will not deliver you from your friends. You gotta wanna be free, and you gotta be wanna be free so bad you can taste it, and you willing to pay the price for it.
That's right.
I've had women come down here, and I cast a Jezebel spirit out of them, and they find out they can't manipulate men anymore. They say, "I want my spirit. I don't like this." I've had them go out the door and invite the blame back in. But unfortunately, what they fail to realize is it's gonna bring seven more worse than the first one. Idiots, I've seen it work out in actuality. Okay, praise you, Lord Jesus. And so, this is the curse of whoredom from idolatry in your family line. If you've returned evil for good, if somebody in your family has returned evil for good. That's the worst curse I know of. I mean, it doesn't leave any possibility out. And poverty will come almost stalk your house. And it says evil will not depart from your home if you return evil for good for four generations. And so we have incest. Now, what it didn't tell you about incest is, it's the hidden sin, the closet sin. I minister to lots of people with incest. And it replicates itself. It just goes down through the family line. And if a man misuses his daughters or his sons, then his boys will misuse their daughters. And it just goes on down the family line. And it lets in all kinds of other demons. It brings in a lot of insanity. Brings in a lot of schizophrenia. Because the girls are always told it's their fault, that they are whores, and it's their fault, and they should be ashamed of themselves treating, doing that to poor dad. Now, ain't that a turnabout? The girl hates her father, and generally hates her mother because mother won't protect her. Mother knows about it, and she either blames the girl or just denies it's happening and just won't protect her. And it just causes all kinds of bad problems, people. Bad problems. Illegitimacy brings a curse of foolishness on you. Brings a curse. You know what? The Bible term what foolishness comes from? To be, you know what? The Greek word for foolish is moronic, from which we get moron. And it brings a curse of foolishness into the family. You need to break the curse of illegitimacy. Illegitimacy is rampant right now in our society. Fully one half the children, birth in most hospitals, conceived out of wedlock. Praise your Lord. The welfare system supports it and perpetuates it. How do they do that? Well, they say, you know, they ask the girl, who's the father? I don't want to tell you. Okay? Now, he's living in the house with her and working out here at Tony's Pizza and got a good job and got insurance. But you see, if she can move in with him, and she will bring with her food stamps. Actually, he moves in with her because the government furnishes her apartment. He gets food stamps. She gets an allowance from the government, and he's got a job, too. And they're going to pay all the hospital bills. So what do he want to? And why should he marry her? He getting the milk free? Why should he go buy the cow when he get the milk free?
Right. Yeah.
I hope I hadn't offended anyone. And the welfare perpetuates that.
Right.
They are out actually soliciting so they can be sure that they have enough cases to keep their job. And if they can increase the number of cases so they can hire another social worker, then they got an assistant and a secretary. And they got folks under them. And therefore, they get paid more. It's a self-perpetuating system designed to perpetuate itself and not... when I dealt with them, I was dealing with them in child abuse. And what they said was, well, we have to figure up first whether or not we can give you this grant. We got to figure out first what our salaries are going to be, what all the step increases are going to amount to, or what the and all the bonuses are going to be. And then we take that money, we add it up, then we deduct it from the allotment. Then we know how much money we've got to help clients with. And we take care of ourselves first. Make sure we all get everything got coming to us. And then we can see how much money we're going to spend on clients and see whether or not we can give you this grant. Well, the truth is, they lied to me. They said, sure, we'll give you the grant. You go ahead and hire, and we'll give you the money. I never got that $50,000. I had to dig it up someplace else because I went out on faith, you know, did what they told me to. We hired it. We started the program. Had the premier child abuse program in the United States. And they sent a team from Hollywood out to make a picture of it, a motion picture as an example, The state government found, the state folks down there in the welfare found out about it. And since they weren't in charge of it, and nobody asked them anything, they gutted the program. How'd they gut the program? They reminded the judge who was helping me that that they had the authority. He didn't. And they were going to take him to court for usurping their authority. And he just gutted the program. Went back to where we were. Tell me they're worried about people in Kansas. Those, that was 20 years ago. I, praise God, things hadn't changed much since then. Okay, God forgive me for transgressing. Okay. Well, let us see him. We're talking about sexual immorality. I talked about sins of the fathers, and we said that, you know, that there is a cure. The cure is to break the curse in Jesus Christ. Now let's look at how God feels about sexual immorality. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. There are lots of different places we can turn, but we'll look at this one first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. And I want you to notice what it says here. For this is the will of God. Now, people, when the Bible tells you this is the will of God for you, I think he's trying to make a point. He said, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality or from fornication. Now, that word there that's translated sexual immorality and fornication is a word, Greek word, porneo. It is a root word from which we get pornography. And it means, you look up here at the beer ads, you know, and they show you this scantily clad young lady holding a can of Coors beer, and they say, if you drink this Coors Light, you're going to get her. She's going to be attracted to you. All the way down yonder to bestiality. Do y'all know what bestiality is?
Yes.
Bestiality is having sex with animals. Okay. All the way down to the end. That is what porneo covers. And he says, God said, is your sanctification, you should abstain from that. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, a body, in sanctification, which means holiness, and honor. Not in the passion of lust, like the heathen that don't know God. You're supposed to be able to say no. No. That no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this manner. Because God is the avenger of all such. The Lord. Look at that. Did you see the devil is the avenger? My Bible says L-O-R-D in capital letters. No, it says Lord. Is the avenger of all such that we forewarn and testify. God did not call us to uncleanness but happiness. He who rejects this does not reject God, man, but God who has given us the Holy Spirit. And so God feels rather strongly about it. And what is the remedy? I want you to look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that man does outside of his body is outside of his body. But he who commits fornication sins against his own body. What do you mean sin against your own body? It means that you allow corruption to come in. Did you know that... Why we do start doing Papanikolaou smears on a woman once she becomes sexually active, particularly if she has multiple sexual partners? Because cancer of the cervix becomes more common. Now, we didn't know why this was until several years ago, until this last year or so. We found that the human papillomavirus is responsible for about 95%, some people say 99%, of cervical cancer. Now, what is the human papillomavirus? It's the same virus that causes warts on your hand. There are 41 different types. And there's something known as genital warts. And that is the 6 types that will grow in the private area. Now, if it's real moist, it grows real good, like mushrooms. If it ain't real moist, it don't grow quite as good. Therefore, the male organ is not as moist as the female organ, and therefore it doesn't grow quite as good. And you can carry that DNA on the male organ for 5 years and not really see it. And then you get married and you go into your wife, you can give it to her. Now, if it's one of them slow-growing kind, you might not get the cancer for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. One of them fast-growing kind, you might have the cancer before you're 25. How many young ladies you know have had that uterus taken out before they're 25 because of carcinoma in situ of the cervix? I know a dozen of them. All goes back to cancer, to human papillomavirus. Young lady came to me. I know very well. Sweet Christian girl. Virgin when she married. She had one child. And she told me that she had carcinoma in situ. Husband had been somewhat of a rounder. He gave it to her. Had the bad kind. He repented. He was sorry. We prayed and we cast it out. Last time she talked to me, she said she was had a biopsy and it was gone. But that's what can happen, gentlemen. Keep your zipper zipped up. They teach safe sex in school. They should say safer sex. Because virus doesn't protect you against viruses like human papillomavirus and herpes and several others. Only gives you 80% protection against chlamydia. Chlamydia. Get back up in your prostate, you're going to have backache the rest of your life. And that's corruption against your body. Don't sin sexually. Well, there are other types of things that come in. I don't want to be distasteful, and I hope I don't offend anybody with what I'm going to say. Sex education classes in school teach that you will not catch diseases with oral genital sex. Therefore, that should be permissible rather than other types. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's true, you won't get pregnant that way. But there's lots of things that you can catch, including a curse from God.
That's the worst.
Okay. You get a curse. You're not a curse from God. You come under a curse for doing that. That violation of the law of God. And you open yourself to... When you come under the curse, it says, choose you this day what you will have. Blessings or curses. Life or death. Curses bring death. Let's go on. Okay. I hope I haven't offended anybody. I'm trying to be delicate. In men, I talk a little differently. I'm much more pointed. Okay. Now, you know that you're not supposed to commit adultery. Well, what happens with sexual immorality, with adultery or sexual immorality? Let's look at Proverbs. We've already seen it said in Hosea that whoredom steals your soul. Now let's look in Proverbs chapter 6. You got Psalms, and then you got Proverbs. And let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. There's a word here. Verse 32 says, whoever commits adultery with a woman, lacks understanding. Now, what did it say in Hosea? They have no understanding, therefore they're trampled under. You got to understand that you do not violate sexual rules. You don't run around like the heathen or like dogs. You know, they teach you they teach you that you're supposed to have the sexual morals of a dog or an alley cat. That's not the way God meant it. God said there's supposed to be one man and one woman joined in matrimony. Matrimony is a blood covenant to become one flesh, joined together with a fusing of the soul. You commit adultery, you destroy your soul. Whoredom steals your soul. Okay, woman whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Now back over here in 7, turn the page over in chapter 7, verse 22, he's talking about a young man who's gone to town, and there's a young harlot there, a woman who makes her living off of sexual immorality, and she induces him to come into her home. And here on chapter 22, it says, on verse 22, it says, immediately goes after as an ox to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, a moron to the correction of the stocks, until an arrow struck his liver. That's hepatitis B. That's how you catch hepatitis B, is sexual immorality and dirty needles. Mixing of blood. Okay? As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost him his life. Soulish life. Sniffa. Would cost him his soul. Whenever that the soul is in the blood, the nepha is in the blood. Whenever there's a mixing of the blood, the bond is formed. Bond is formed. It is called a soul tie. You saw it with David and Jonathan. They cut the covenant. That's they cut their wrist and fused the blood. And Jonathan's soul clung to David. And vice versa. Okay? Let's look at the defilement of Diana. And that should be in Genesis chapter 34, I think. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 34. Now Diana, the daughter of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Now, Jacob's just gotten to Shechem, and he's setting up the tents. And his daughter said, I want to go out and look at the countryside. And so she left. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite priest of the country, saw her, he took her, lay with her, and violated her. He raped her. And his soul was strongly attached or clung to Diana, the daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke kindly. He became so attached to her that he said, I want to marry her. You get her for me. And so they went over and tried to buy her, and he wouldn't buy and said, no, you people are uncircumcised. We just couldn't possibly have you as said, I tell you what, get all the men circumcised. And then we'll intermarry with you. And he wanted it so bad, he went back and made all of his subjects get circumcised. Well, they were a little sore after they got circumcised. And that next day after they got circumcised, Levi and Simeon went and killed all of them. Because they were too sore to fight back. But I want you to see the strength of the soul tie that can come from a sexual union. Whether voluntary or involuntary. There was a mixing of the blood. There is a mixing of the blood during sexual intercourse. Okay. Praise your Lord. And so, you need to break ungodly soul ties. I want to say something else. I want to say it as gingerly as I can. Unnatural sex, whether it be sex with animals, sex between the same sex, homosexuality, lesbianism, or oral genital sex between a man and a woman, are all forbidden in Leviticus 18. As a matter of fact, the word fornication covers that. If you look it up in the theological textbook of the Old Testament, this is a reference book that I use.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.